to pioneer the future, this is the mission of your AAF. The Army Air Forces, in cooperation with the American Broadcasting Company, present Your AAF, a weekly report to the American people on its continuing operation throughout the world today and its adventures in research, which are pioneering for your better world tomorrow. Later on this program, you'll hear a report from Bowling Field on the post-war plans of a typical group of Air Force GIs. But for the moment, it's the all-soldier orchestra of the AAF with one post-war plan that every GI wife and sweetheart will subscribe to. Lady, be good. Forces Radio Service sends this program overseas to GIs in the distant places of the earth. For them and for you, Sergeant Bob Carroll comes up with a song that already is jingling the jukeboxes from Main Street to Manila. That's for me.
My head as I breathlessly said. me, but the dream in my heart, and the dream in my heart, that's for you.
Of the compass with a musical ear. During the war in Europe, many a radio-wise listener in the United States got his nightly tip-off on Allied bombing targets with the bulletin from London that radio stations in Hamburg or Bremen or Berlin had gone off the air. The reason for this radio blackout was an Allied weapon of war which now has tremendous peacetime value. The radio compass. For an exciting demonstration of the radio compass in action, we take you by Army wire recorder to a C-45 transport somewhere in the skies of Ohio. Go ahead, Captain Bob Van Kamp.
This is your AAF recorder, Captain Bob Van Kamp, speaking by wire recorder from the pilot's compartment of a C-45 airplane 3,000 feet above the earth. We've been flying for 25 minutes now without paying any attention to our direction of flight. Our plane is circling in a huge pattern somewhere out from Wright Field near Dayton, Ohio. We don't know our exact location, but in just a moment, our pilot, Lieutenant Ross Spence of Emporium, Pennsylvania, will head back for Wright Field, finding his way accurately by means of a radio compass. No other direction finder will be used. This radio compass is one of the many wartime developments which are making both military and civilian aviation safer and easier. Lieutenant Spence, suppose you tell us just how this radio compass works.
It operates electronically. Just tune in a radio station on this dial right here. Same way you tune in your favorite program at home. You automatically get a directional reading on this compass.
You mean the needle of the compass points in the direction of the radio station to which you're listening?
Well, that's it. During the war, the RAF bombers used to tune in on Radio Berlin, and their compass would guide them straight to the Nazi capital.
That's pretty tricky.
Not tricky, just a good piece of equipment. You see, 0 degrees on the compass indicates the direction in which we're flying. When we tune in a radio station, the direction of the station will be shown by this pointer of the compass. When the two coincide and the pointer indicates 0, then we'll be on the beam.
Suppose we pick a station now in Dayton, Ohio, so we can head back for Wright Field.
Okay.
Let's tune in the American Broadcasting Company station, WING.
Roger.
Now we're turning the dial until it's set at 1410 kilocycles. That's the frequency for WING.
Now put on earphones to see if you hear anything.
Right. Say, I sure do hear something. That's wing, all right. Wait, I'll switch on this speaker and let our radio audience in on it. That's it, all right.
Now watch the pointer on the compass. It shows 10 degrees. That means Dayton, Ohio is 10 degrees to our north. I'll change the course 10 degrees and we'll be headed straight for Dayton and Wright Field.
Tell me, Lieutenant, how does this radio compass compare with the magnetic compass?
Beats in a mile. A magnetic compass gives only one reading. Take it or leave it. But with this radio compass, we can tune in on several radio stations and determine the position of this plane at any time.
Then the radio compass should be of great use to commercial airline pilots.
You bet. It takes a lot of the guesswork out of flying.
Well, thanks, Lieutenant Spence. So there you have an actual flight demonstration of the radio compass, a joint development of the Electronic Subdivision, Air Technical Service Command, and American Industry. From our C-45, as it heads straight for Dayton, guided by a safe and sure radio direction finder, this is Captain Bob Van Kamp returning you to your AAF in New York.
Thank you. Weather is the everyday business of flyers, and your AAF boasts of a round-the-world weather service second to none. From lonely outposts in the tropics, from weather stations in the Arctic where weather is born, reports pour in to AAF headquarters in Washington, D.C., where weather maps are made and forecasts sent throughout the earth, ensuring safer global travel in the world of today. All of which inspires the orchestra to come up with a weather report all its own. Rain on the roof. Just a few hours ago in Washington, D.C., three B-29s of the 20th Air Force landed at National Airport and a fourth at nearby Andrews Field in Virginia. They flew nonstop from Sapporo, Hokkaido, northernmost Japanese home island, to our nation's capital in just 27 hours and 30 minutes. General Ira C. Ager, deputy commander of the American Air Forces, was on hand to greet the first superfort to land, the Fluffy Fuzz the Fourth, commanded by Brigadier General Frank A. Armstrong, Jr. The route these pioneer airmen traveled was by way of the Great Circle Course. Arghatu, Kodiak, Sitka, Alaska, Fort St. John, Winnipeg, Detroit, and then eastward to Washington. This is a flight which makes aviation history once again and helps every American to realize that the world of the future is finally here at hand. When the men of the AAF want to throw a very special hand salute, they call it throwing a highball. A highball is a token of pride and respect. And so to the men who manned these planes, tonight your AAF says happy landings and throws a highball. Thousands of returning airmen these days are getting reacquainted with America's railroads as they take off on that sweet journey home. North, south, east, and west, the names of the great transcontinental lines are names to make music. And so in return, here's Sergeant Bob Carroll and the air crew making some music of their own with...
Do you hear that engine down the line? Big and old, it's engine number 49. She's the only one that's down that way.
On the Edson Tinker, Santa Fe.
See the old smoke rising round the bend. I reckon that she knows she's gonna meet a friend. Folks around these parts get the time of day.
From the Atchison to figure the Santa Fe.
Here she comes. Ooh. Jim, you better get the rig. Ooh. She's got a list of passengers that's pretty big. And they all want lifts to Brown's Hotel. Cause lots of them been traveling for quite a spell. All the way from there to Dubai. On the Atchison, Santa Pica and the Santa Fe. The Atchison, Santa Pica and the Santa Fe.
Do you hear that whistle down the line? Big as that attention, 49. The only one that'll sound that way.
On the Atchison, Santa Pica and the Santa Fe.
See the old smoke rising round the bend. Reckon that she's gonna meet a friend. Folks around these parts get the time of day.
From the edge of Santa Pica and the Santa Fe.
Here she comes. Clickety-clack, clickety-clack, clickety-choo-choo-choo.
Hey, Jim, you better get the rig.
Chugging along, singing a song, clickety-choo-choo-choo.
She's got a list of passengers that's pretty big.
And they all want lifts to Brown's Hotel.
Because lots of them been traveling for quite a spell.
All the way from Philadelphia.
On the Atchison, Topeka.
Santa Fe.
On the Atchison, Topeka.
Santa Fe, Atchison. Topeka and the Santa Fe.
The GI talks about post-war plans. By the millions, America's men went to war, gave up their normal civilian pursuits for a way of life they had never known before. Now that our men are pouring back, what effect has military service had on their plans for the future? Will they want to return to their former occupations? Will some of them choose to remain in the Army? For a cross-section of GI opinion on this question, we take you by Army wire recorder to Bowling Field. Come in, Captain Howard Finch.
This is your AAF reporter, Captain Howard Finch, speaking to you from Bowling Field, Washington, D.C. Today, all over the world, the paramount topic of conversation in the Army is that post-war career, that all-important problem of the immediate future. Wherever you happen to wander on a typical air base such as this one, whether it's the PX, the barracks, the barber shop, or the flight line, the question is just about the same. How many points you got and what are you going to do? But the answers are many and varied. True, in the Air Corps, many men are discussing the possibilities of aviation as a post-war career and the part that they as individuals would like to play in it. This is only natural in that many of these men have been in on the ground floor, so to speak, of numerous experimental projects of the air that today are definite realities. Theirs has been a job of helping America gain its present status of a world leader in the skies. But to find out what these veterans are thinking and planning for the future, we moved our microphone to the flight line here at Bowling Field. We've selected four soldiers at random, and we're going to give them a chance to really air their hopes and their aspirations. And here's the first one. What's your name, Sergeant?
Tech Sergeant Douglas R. Gwyther.
How old are you, Doug?
24.
And what's your hometown?
Creswell, Oregon.
Are you married?
Yes, I am.
And what is your military
job? Early engineer right now.
How long have you been in the service?
6 years.
And how much of that time did you spend overseas?
I spent 2 years in the Mediterranean theater.
In the Mediterranean. All right. Now, what are your plans for the future?
Well, after looking at the opportunities on the outside and the ones that the Army has offered, well, I believe it's better for me to stay in the Air Corps.
Gonna keep the old eyes upward and make aviation then your career for the post-war.
Yes, I am.
Good enough, and thanks a lot to you. And here's another sergeant coming up here. And what's your name?
Master Sergeant Thomas J. Williams.
How old are you, Tom?
24.
And where do you hail from?
Detroit, Michigan.
And what are you doing in the Army? I mean, what is your job?
Aerial engineer.
And how long have you been in the service?
4.5 years.
4.5 years in all? How much of that time did you spend overseas?
2.5 years.
All right. What theater?
CBI.
And what are your plans for the future?
Well, I plan to stay in the Air Corps for at least 3 or 6 years more and see what develops, and then maybe I might get out.
And you, too, then? You want something that has to do with the air, so far as your future is concerned.
That's right.
Good enough, and thanks a lot to you, Tom. And now, here comes the sergeant over here to the microphone. May I have your name?
Sergeant Robert Gungo.
Bob, how old are you?
21.
And your hometown?
Benwood, West Virginia.
Now, how long have you been in the Army?
3 years.
How much of that time have you spent overseas?
15 months in European theater operation.
In the ETO?
That's right.
All right. And will you tell me something about your plans for the future?
Well, I hope to get discharged from the Army and continue my schooling.
Were you going to school before the before you came in
yes,
the Army?
Yes, I was.
High school or college?
High school.
And now you want to pick up and go back to high school?
That's right, where I left off.
Then to college?
Then to college.
And what are you going to study?
I'm going to take up mechanical drawing.
Mechanical drawing. Does aviation play a part in your post-war plans at all?
Well, I don't know yet.
You're going to think it all over.
Yes, sir.
All right, thanks a lot. And now, our fourth man to the microphone, what is your name?
Tech Sergeant Leon R. Swank.
Leon R. Swank?
That's
how old are you, Leon?
29.
And what's your hometown?
Bartow, Pennsylvania.
What is it?
Bartow, Pennsylvania.
Are you a married man?
Yes, I am.
And what's your job in the Army?
Airplane inspector.
And how about your overseas time?
I haven't any.
You have soldiered them in this country?
In the States, that's
right. And tell me what you're going to do in the future.
Well, as quick as the Army lets me out, I'm still going to stay with aviation.
How many points do you have?
47.
But you're definitely going to stay with aviation. What branch? What would you like to do in aviation?
Well, I'd still like to stay in the inspection department.
That's the type of
that's
work
my,
you're doing
That's
here.
My future.
Sounds like a mighty good future, and you've had splendid training so far.
Yes, I have. I've learned a lot since I've come in the Army.
Thanks a lot to you. Well, briefly, that's a cross-section of the men of the Air Force here at Bowling Field, Washington, D.C. Their plans and hopes for the future are relatively and significantly the same as your GIs the world over. But you notice one definite trend of thinking predominates in all of their thoughts and answers. And that is a steadfast faith in the unlimited future of this, the United States of America. We return you now to your AAF in New York.
To the Great Smokies and to the Valley of the Mississippi, to the rolling farms of New England and the sidewalks of New York, the American soldier is coming home. And with him, he is bringing his faith in America. Right now, America is being asked to reaffirm its faith in him as one more installment comes due on the financial price of victory. A great victory loan drive is in progress. $11 billion are needed now to pay for care of the wounded, to maintain our armies of occupation, to help make possible the education, the loans, the helping hand we've promised the American veteran under the GI Bill of Rights. And the bonds you have started buying today are the last installment on America's insurance for the future. Today, so vast are those technical strides in aviation, the great silver B-17s are already obsolete. 7 years ago, in 1938, when six of them took off for a goodwill flight to Buenos Aires, they were the cream of the Air Force's newest planes. 1938, a year when a melody was born whose life was a little longer, a song still as fresh today as it was then, Where or When. To keep the peace, to build the future. The mission of your AAF. You have been listening to the official program of the Army Air Forces, your AAF. Join us next week for another first-hand report on your Army Air Forces. And for the music of the All Soldier Orchestra, conducted by Master Sergeant Felix Flatkin. The program was produced and directed by Staff Sergeant Ian Martin. Your announcer, Corporal Larry Dobkin.
This is the American...